talking about right-wing extremism, the podcast of the Right-Wing Studies Knowledge Network.
For the last 28 years, we observed the German right-wing extremism. This is where we have a lot of expertise. During these last years, it became more and more and more obvious that there is some kind of a German right-wing extremism, but it became much more international. So what we see in Germany is so much influenced by right-wing extremism across Europe, by the way Europe tries to cope and fight with right-wing extremism. So it has a European dimension.
From the 13th to the 15th February this year, around 100 scientists from Europe, especially from Germany and Norway, came together in Bielefeld to discuss precisely these dimensions of right-wing extremism in Europe. The conference took part in the Center for Interdisciplinary Research and has created the possibility to network internationally, as Andreas Sick explains further.
The aim of the conference is to bring together two big institutes. This was the first step, so the Center for Extremism Research in Oslo, Norway. We are partners, the institute here in Bielefeld. But then more and more and more it appeared that we need stronger networks, closer ties, more speed in communication, in scientific exchange. There's now a young generation of new researchers in the field, so we wanted to have a forum, especially for young researchers, to tell their ideas, to give them feedback and to network.
Already, the organization of the conference and planning of the program was a cooperation between scientists from different institutes and universities, including C-REX, the Center for Research on Extremism in Oslo, IKG, the Institute for Interdisciplinary Research on Conflict and Violence at Bielefeld University, including the Conflict Academy Conflicta, FORENA, an institution at the University of Applied Sciences Düsseldorf, Rex Klima, a junior research group which works at the Technical University of Dresden on right-wing extremism and climate policy, and the German Right-Wing Studies Knowledge Network, which was founded last year. From the Center for Research on Extremism in Oslo, a delegation of around 30 scientists flew to Bielefeld to participate at the conference. After the Norwegian team became aware that a knowledge network on right-wing extremism research was being set up in Germany, they decided to expand their contacts to German scientists researching right-wing extremism, as Tore Bjørgo, the director of the Center for Research on Extremism in Oslo, illustrates.
We knew there was a lot of relevant research going on, but we have also quite a lot of research to share. Maybe one of our main contribution is to open up the German perspectives, which tend to be a bit inward-looking, and we have we have much more of an international, transnational perspective on what we are doing. So that is perhaps something the German scene could be find useful.
The conference that took place in Bielefeld offered a space to exchange those various perspectives on right-wing extremism in Europe. Participating scientists suggested different methods for researching the far right in Europe. For Katrine Fangen, a scientist from the Center for Research on Extremism in Oslo, who held one of the two keynotes on the conference, it was particularly important to recommend studying transnational influences.
At this conference, because I can have other points that I'm interested in other conferences, but today it was especially to study transnational influences. And then I don't speak of how an actor or a group disseminate their views, but more the other way around, how actors are influenced by different views and sources across national borders. And I think that's methodologically interesting because it's not so often done this way. It's often a study of transnational diffusion or transnational imitation. But it's also important to look how people consume sources of information. And I don't know why it's not more often done, but I think there should be more of that type of research, because then we also see where the ideas come from and how some people manage to present them in a way that makes them circulate across borders and to broad audiences.
During the 3 days of the conference, more than 45 presentations were given in different panels that dealt with various topics like far-right party politics in Europe, social movements, legal and non-legal responses to right-wing extremism, as well as possibilities of prevention and reintegration. Theresa Völker, who is a researcher at the WZB Social Science Center in Berlin, participated at a panel about far-right violence and terrorism and gave a presentation on the effect of extreme right and Islamist terrorism on public opinion.
I think the perspective which is important for me is particularly mainstreaming the far-right, so not only the extreme fringes, terrorism, extreme forms of violence that we can see on the street, but also turning the perspective to, yeah, so to say, normal interactions in everyday life and the slow and incremental normalization of extreme right thoughts in broader society.
The participants of the panels discussed together the different methods and results of the studies that were presented. This exchange of knowledge made it possible to gain overarching findings about the far right in Europe, like Hannah Mietke describes. She is the coordinator of the German Right-Wing Studies Knowledge Network and was the chair of one of the panels.
Well, in our panel, the speakers talked about anti-feminist, anti-queer and anti-trans mobilization and violence. And they all talked about analysis and studies in different national contexts. But what they all stressed was that these issues around gender and sexuality function as a bridge towards the so-called center of society and towards discussions that are very broadly discussed in the society.
There are various topics that extreme right-wing actors use to spread their ideology. Another example for such a topic is climate policy. Mannes Weiskircher, who works at the Institute for Political Science at the TU Dresden, held the second keynote on the conference on this topic.
What I brought into the conference was anti-climate mobilization by far-right actors. Here I particularly focused on the AfD in Germany, which is climate denialist. The party denies that climate change is human-made, but I also emphasized that it's important to go beyond focusing on their climate denialism alone and also acknowledge that they are climate obstructionists. That means that they mobilize against specific climate policies, for example, wind turbines, heat pumps reform, increasingly solar energy, but also others.
Moreover, Mannes Weiskircher points out the importance of international cooperation in the field of researching the far right to get to know other cases, which can be identified as the main aim of the conference.
I think international cooperation in the study of the far right is essential because far right parties within Europe, but also beyond, share a lot of similarities, but they also differ in important respects. So it's important to know from other cases or to know other cases well in order to understand one's own regional or national context better, and especially for scholars studying the case of Germany, looking beyond Germany is essential because far-right parties have had longer lives in other Western European countries in the past decades, so there is a lot of experiences made elsewhere, and studying these experiences can help scholars of the German far right improve their understanding of the phenomenon.
Another topic that was discussed at the conference and plays a quite important role in scientific projects is the ethical dimension of researching the far right, especially dealing with ethical challenges. The organizers of the conference took this topic seriously and dedicated a panel to it, which was held in plenary sessions with all participants of the conference. Anja Schmidt-Leinart, who works at the Institute for Interdisciplinary Research on Conflict and Violence in Bielefeld, moderated the panel and sums up some key points on which the panel participants and the audience agreed concerning necessary measures for ensuring a high ethical quality of researching right-wing extremism.
One thing is that it's up to us as researchers to get into contact and to cooperate with university structures that already exist and to present our needs with this kind of research and to also demand and outline security procedures.
Right-wing extremism researchers are at risk of becoming victims of right-wing violence such as threats and attacks. That usually concerns not only individual scientists or projects. So during the panel discussion, it became clear that everyone working in this kind of dangerous field could benefit from support structures and from networking, as Anja Schmidt-Leinart further explains.
It's not only up to the individual research institutions, but we also, as researchers, have to connect among ourselves and have to get into some kind of exchange and build a network or something like similar, and to exchange our experiences, our struggles, and possible solutions.
In the interview for this podcast episode, Anja Schmidt-Leinart further explained that such networks can have a formal or informal structure, and exchange can also take place in everyday interactions between right-wing extremism researchers. The conference, Dimensions of Right-Wing Extremism in Europe, offered right-wing extremism researchers the opportunity to network internationally in order to maintain exactly such helpful contacts in the future, to exchange perspectives, methods and data, to develop project ideas and support young researchers. The participants received a lot of input on the conference, and there are different things that they took away with them that inspired them for their own research.
So my key insight is how much research there is going on the far right across Europe. And I think one of the heartening things when we get isolated in this depressing kind of sphere of what we're studying is that there's so many young colleagues who are enthusiastic and open-minded about what they're doing, and that we're really seeing kind of a lot of the paradigms break down. So for me, it's personally that we're using new methods, but also that we are conceptualizing the far right in a much broader sense than the strict kind of party or not party division of olden days.
There is a growing number of younger researchers in the field, which is encouraging also that there are more women than older men like me in the field meanwhile. So I think that's a very important impression I've got here, and that's encouraging.
To sum up the key points that I take from this conference, it's one, the position of the researcher in the field in connection to safety and mental well-being. Secondly, the question about the data itself. What kind of data do we collect, and how is that biased? And what kind of data don't we collect, or can't we collect? Connected to questions of research ethics. And my third point that I take from here is the question about broader social or political discourse about science itself, especially science that it's critical and concerning right-wing movements in society.
Maybe one key insight is that all the colleagues from Oslo, I'm very impressed that they have always a comparative perspective. So they just only look at Norway or Scandinavian, but they always try to compare European stage or situation in the European stage. And I think that's very good. And that's in contrast to my work.
I think this type of event here that brings together really a big German research community and really many representatives from the international research community on right-wing extremism, it really helps us to also clarify some of these basic concepts and really discuss what do we actually mean when we say anti-Semitism, right? That's of course a classic example because anti-Semitism research in Germany is very big for historical reasons, and German scholarship has produced here a lot of very particular notions that maybe apply very well to the German concept context and are widely understood, but that doesn't always hold true also for an international audience. So I found that really insightful to also question again these concepts that we use and think about how can we use them in more international research contexts.
The debates held on the conference and the takeaways of the participants illustrate that the research on right-wing extremism could benefit from including more international and comparative perspectives. The international exchange at the conference made it, for example, possible to identify anti-gender and anti-climate attitudes as narratives used by right-wing extremists to spread their ideology into the society. International cooperation in the field of right-wing extremism research can help to gain a better understanding of the phenomenon. For that, events like the conference Dimensions of Right-Wing Extremism in Europe are important. This podcast episode is a cooperation between the Institute for Interdisciplinary Research on Conflict and Violence at Bielefeld University and the Institute Social Concepts, SOCON, at the University of Applied Sciences Niederrhein. Produced by Jana-Marie Bertermann and Dennis van de Wetering. Speaker Jana-Marie Bertermann. Technical Support Asle Attersoy and Caroline Rosenberg.